Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 1 o'clock on the dot. Make it known.
Mm.
On the clock. Guess what we have? Guess.
Mm.
Fangolf Classic.
Hey!
Hey! Your local Toyota dealers present the 11th annual Fangolf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club Tuesday, June 24th. It's also brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. June 24th, that is a Tuesday. Sign up at 1080thefan.com. Click on the old Fan Golf Classic logo there at 1080thefan.com. It'll take you right where you need to go in order to sign up your team, get more information. We will have Matt's Barbecue out there with catering for the post-round meal. We got all the fare that we usually do on the course out there. Food, bevies, we take care of you at the Fan Golf Classic. It's an awesome event. Come on out to Langdon Farms Golf Club Tuesday, June 24th, because your local Toyota dealers present the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic. Get it!
I'm excited.
I'm excited for you in your journey.
I've actually gone to hit a couple of balls this year, so hopefully my swing won't just look like ass like it did last year.
Just swinging the club a few times going to get that for you?
I mean, just being able to like go to the range and hit the ball, I think that would, you know, that helps. So,
you know, it does.
It just,
or it can hurt you because you're just
reinforcing
the bad habits that you have.
Guys,
is it getting better?
I'm a terrible golfer in general, so yeah. I think just any practice will help at this point.
All right. I'm in. All right. Greg Popovich retired. Well, Greg Popovich is no longer coaching the San Antonio Spurs.
Moving into a senior advisory role. And this was already coming very, very, very likely. The Spurs kept it under wraps for a long time. But when he had a stroke
in November,
in the NBA, we kind of knew, but, you know, you let them handle that kind of thing because it's very serious. And Mitch Johnson, the interim coach, was very, very, very likely going to get the job if Pop decided to step aside at the end of the season. But, 3 weeks ago now, he had a mini stroke, and that's it.
And I think even at the time, there was not a lot of optimism that he was going to be able to return because after his mild stroke, he was in a care facility for a very long time.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into too much of it, but Pop lost his wife, 2 years ago, 18 months now. And it's when you get to that age and you lose your partner and stuff starts happening, it deteriorates a little bit more quickly. Yeah, and it's unfortunately a sign of things to come. And look, I love Pop. I've been in dozens of Pop press conferences, and he's truly one of the best to ever do it. And I wish him nothing but the best, and the game's going to be worse off without him.
Yeah, it seems to everybody that he is a jerk and that he doesn't get it. There is no man who gets it more than Greg Popovich because, and I've told this story before, but when they played the Blazers played the Spurs in the playoffs, I was covering Spurs shoot-arounds in their locker room. Pop is yucking it up and making jokes and having conversations with the media until the very first camera light or recorder gets brought out.
Yep.
And then the Pop that everybody sees on TV, he turns to that person.
Look, when Pop comes to Portland on road trips, he has a vineyard just down the street from where I live. And he makes an effort to go to the vineyard and grabs crates of wine to deliver to the Blazers.
Yeah.
Like it's just that's a very subtle thing that he does, but like he does that kind of stuff. Like everyone loves Pop. Like when you hear the biggest hard asses in the NBA that have ever played for him, like Steven Jackson, somebody says a sideways word about Pop, he'll tear your head off.
Yeah.
Like Pop is one of one.
Interesting dude, but also really damn good basketball coach and created dynasties, and they got very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But he and look, it wasn't just one iteration of it, though.
God, no.
He kept doing it over and
over
again.
Four different versions.
And yeah, you got to get really lucky to do it. And mm-hmm. he was looking for another one since he had Wimby.
Mm-hmm.
But he's unable to finish that thing off. His other legacy, though, is not championships and coaching star players. That dude's coaching tree is insanity. And it's not just a coaching tree, because we forget Pop went from the front office to the sidelines. And his front office his front office tree is just as big as his coaching tree. Kevin Pritchard came from the Pop tree.
That's where the Blazers got him from.
And Steve Kerr falls into that. Like, so many coaches that I was reading something that said that Greg Popovich is responsible for 23 head coaches in the NBA and WNBA.
Because Becky Hammon.
50 NBA assistants or head coaches in the collegiate, international, or G League levels. Mm-hmm. So 50 NBA assistants that he ended up, they parlay into head coaching jobs. And then 18 more assistants that left his coaching tree to go and be assistants elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's just a handful of names.
Think of that really quick, though. That is 91. Just ballparking 91 that he's turned out in his career. Yeah.
And that doesn't account for the players that he coached that have gone on to coach.
Yeah.
Like, it gets crazy. Like, here are some of the names, okay? Ime Udoka, Becky Hammon, Sean Marks talking about GMs. I mean, you can say what you want about Brooklyn. They've made multiple star swings.
Yep.
Will Hardy, Jim Boylan, Jacques Vaughn, PJ Carlissimo, Mike Budenholzer. Like, you just kind of go down the list. Like, that's multiple title-winning coaches.
Yep. Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's crazy.
That's just a little snippet of coaches that he's...
Yeah, and Kerr's in there.
Yeah.
Damon Stoudemire is in there, who coached with Pop for a hot minute.
Who's now the head coach at Georgia Tech.
There's a lot of guys that his imprint was on, and he was there for so long.
Yeah, he took over as head coach before the Duncan draft is when he took over.
Yeah, 96, right? Yeah. And then I believe Terry Porter was also not only a player, but an assistant before he became a head coach on Pop's staff. So, yeah, a lot of guys.
Question for you. Do you know now the longest tenured head coaches in professional sport?
Ooh, in professional sport?
Like the NBA or all of them?
Any sport. Professional
Tomlin?
Sport. Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
He is number one, 18 years.
It drops off very quickly in the NBA. I know that.
Spo's got to be up there, right? Close to Tomlin.
He is tied for second at 17.
Mike Malone was at year 10, and he got fired.
I'll tell you what. The top 10 in all sports, so you're talking MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL.
MLB is turned
your
over
big
managers
four,
like crazy.
Yeah.
The number 10 is only 9 seasons.
Yeah, as I'm saying, there's been a lot of the long tenured guys.
Jared Bednar of the Avalanche.
Oh God!
Like Dave Roberts,
has he been there that long?
9 years.
Dave Roberts has only been in LA for like 10-11 years. I mean, there's just not many guys.
He is tied for eighth with Brian Snitker, which is another surprising one for me in Atlanta. Brian Snitker's been in Atlanta for 10 years. He and Dave Roberts are tied for eighth. And this one seems like he's been there way longer than those guys have. But it's only 1 year. Steve Kerr is sixth with 11 seasons. Oh. Kevin Nash in Tampa also at 11. Then you have Andy Reid and John Cooper of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are both at 12 seasons. Spoelstra and John Harbaugh at 17 seasons.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy that John has been there for 17 years.
Yep.
I don't think of it as being that long.
Nope.
Yeah,
he's won two Super Bowls with two different regimes. Yeah. Like, you forget that.
So that just shows you how.
And Tomlin's an 18?
18 years. Yeah. Yeah. And Pop was damn near 30 years. Yeah.
As the head coach, that doesn't count for also the GM time.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if this list, because coaching kind of goes in waves and cycles, you know, where the old guys filter out and then a young crop comes in. But how long are some of these guys going to stick around? Because we're already hearing about Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay, not even 40 yet.
No.
And it's like, he just may retire and say,
I'm good.
I made really good money coaching, and I'll make even better money
as an analyst
doing TV stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I keep
and
on
I
do, doing
and
the
I don't
grind?
Have to go and grind.
And teams are shorter leashes and firing mm-hmm. guys. It's going to be interesting to see how this list evolves over the years, because Kerr is at sixth on this list. Do we think that he's going to be coaching into his 70s?
God, no.
Because I don't think
God,
he will.
No.
I mean, no. I just don't see that happening for him.
I could very easily see him hanging it up as soon as Steph does.
The guy that I could see, and this is like with one team, right?
Yeah.
Longest tenured with one team. The one guy that I could see outside of Tomlin, who's only got two more to go, is John Harbaugh sticking around. Because we're already hearing about Spoelstra at 17 years. Like, there's a lot of smoke in Miami that Spo may not be long for that job. Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff going on down there. Well,
which is crazy.
There were rumors he was going to take over in San Antonio, which obviously didn't come to fruition.
Well, and with Reed's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been plenty of news and smoke around him doing one or two more years and hanging up.
Yeah. It's wild, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Look, you have the new era in the NBA with the players, but you also have it with the coaches. Like, it's very much, number one, we've talked about this in college, it's becoming a younger man's game.
Yeah.
Just because of all the stuff that goes along with it. Like, if you look at college basketball, even the legends of the game, the Patinos and the Coach K's obviously gone.
Yeah.
Coach Cal, like, he goes to Arkansas. Like, the guys that have been, and there's been a ton of noise around Bill Self being done at Kansas. The thought was he might go to Texas when that job opened up.
And a lot of these guys are sitting there and they're looking at it with their boosters and saying, dude, I don't need to deal with you.
Yeah.
Look at my resume. And that used to be good enough, but it's not.
It's
anymore.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Or yesterday.
Well, Greg Popovich, no longer coaching. Look, thoughts are with Pop because he may be a surly old son of a bee when he's doing his interviews, but he's a good dude and a damn fine coach. Going to be missed on the sidelines for San Antonio. Mitch Johnson, who took over for Pop this year, is a guy who's taken over, and I'm sure he'll do a fine job after they get Cooper Flagg in the lottery.
Jeez. It's worst nightmare over there. No.
Tell me about it, Schultzy.
Life ain't fair, right?
Tell me about it. All right, let's get to some college football news and notes. Dan Lanning went duck hunting, and he got himself one. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Actually, I was on the sidelines doing the Oregon broadcast, and we had Dan Lanning did his halftime synopsis, did a little quick little questions, and he's always really good. Like, he doesn't just give me like nothing.
He doesn't go land Danning.
Yeah, he'll talk, and he'll give you the coach speak, but mm-hmm. he gives you his nuggies and assessments because he's honest.
Yeah.
Like, he's honest with his players. He's honest with everybody. I asked him about his assessment of the first half of the spring game, and it's a spring game, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting much. This is what his response was.
Some good, some bad. Hope we don't have to punt this year. Those aren't right yet. We got to get that figured out. But beyond that, there's a lot of good competition out there.
You hope we don't have to punt this year.
Yeah.
Not in the second half of the spring game this year.
And there were a couple poor punts in that first half. And he is a guy that he talks about all the time. You hear about it from his players all the time. The competition culture of Oregon. 5 days after that spring game, James Ferguson tweeted out, "Duck Nation, I'm home." Mm. And if you're wondering who James Ferguson is, former Boise State punter. He's an Aussie. He's from Geelong, Victoria, down in Australia.
Didn't he have a boomer of a punt against the Ducks that backed them up? Was that in the playoff? I just remember one game where he had an absolute monster corner kick that backed the team up.
Yeah, well, he has a leg where he's outkicked his coverage a couple of times, and Tez Johnson returned a punt for a touchdown in that Boise State game that kind of turned it on its head because he's got a leg on him. Really, really good punter, and one of the guys that, hey, when you have a he's an All-American at one point, but he's averaged he averaged 43.53 yards on 43 punts last season. That's pretty good. And then in 2023, averaged 50 yards a punt.
Damn.
Good God.
I don't think the Ducks have ever had anybody close to that.
On 55 punts. And my favorite part about him, he's got a mullet and a mustache.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Take a look at that. Take a look at that.
Oh.
Tell me.
That guy just screams Aussie.
Yeah, right? Just right out of central casting. But Lanning obviously wasn't thrilled with the way that the punting was going during spring. Brought in some competition for Ross James and Luke Dunn. And it's that is what, when they say they create a culture of competitiveness, that's it. Yeah. Like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out. If something didn't go right, we're going to fix
that
hole.
The only not even criticism, the only unfortunate part of this is when you're talking about characters and being the part, I sent you the Vikings post-draft signing.
Oh, Tug Buck?
Tug Buck.
Dude.
What?
That is one of the greatest AI-generated. Just Google Tug Buck. Well, it's an AI-generated
anything
photo.
Anything naughty going to come up?
Well, probably. But it's for show research. We have it documented here, Schultzy. Tug Buck is an AI-generated photo, and these are fantastic, because it looked like the Vikings graphic of a signing. And he is supposed to be a nose tackle from Idaho State.
Yep.
Basically what they did was they made fat Jared Allen, because Jared Allen went to Idaho State.
Wore the number 69.
Wore number 69, which is what Tug Buck wears. Had a mullet, had a handlebar mustache, but they just made Tug Buck a little bit fatter.
Yeah.
It was a dead ringer for Jared Allen.
The only note I have, instead of Tug Buck, Buck Tug.
Buck Tug. Now you're definitely going to get...
Yeah.
Now you're definitely going to get...
I bet you that's what they submitted. They submitted Buck Tug.
Yeah.
But they're like, it needs to be Tug Buck.
And if you fell for it, it is AI.
Yeah.
It's AI generated. It looks so real.
It's so good.
And it's so perfect.
No, it looks like a real picture, yeah.
Well, it looks 100% like a person that would walk into Pocatello, Idaho and go, yeah, I could see myself being here.
I could be here.
He's got a Kid Rock tattoo on his left arm. That's the sleeve that the biggest... That AI generation was on point. They really got backwoods country MF-er here for this defensive line.
You know what that guy says? Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
A lot of hell yeah, brother out here.
That is a 100% hell yeah, brother. We're gonna rock and roll with this thing, brother. The AI-generated photos, that is going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem for all of us. And it makes it hard. You really have to double-check what you're falling for on the internet. It's got me back on my game because I felt like I was backsliding. You know, you could get, you know, ball sack sports. It can happen to you. You can get NBA centeled.
Oh God!
From time to time,
I've got them all blocked.
Well, they're getting creative now,
and they're pretty funny. Frankly, yeah. I don't want to block them because they add some entertainment value to my days.
But all of them, any of the spoof sites, all of them, I haven't blocked. So they
but there's ones
timeline.
That you. But here's the thing: there's so many of them that they'll pop up, and you're like, I don't know if I should believe this or not. Mm-mm. And then that's when you got to go and double, because if it's too good to be true.
It's too good to be true.
It's too good to be true.
They're going to start like popping up with new ones. Danny won't even realize. It's just like, can't block them fast enough. There's too many of these accounts out there.
Yeah. It's hell. The internet, very hard these days.
There used to just be the Onion and that was it, right?
Yeah.
Like, God.
You know, what happened to the times where all the weird stuff was in those AOL chat rooms? Those are long gone.
Going back to like To Catch a Predator days, brother.
ASL, baby.
Yeah. Age, sex, location.
Oh, wow. I have not heard ASL like in 20 plus years.
It's not American Sign Language.
No, it is not.
No. Which would just...
For those that grew up in the bowels of the AOL chat rooms, yeah. The number of predators in there.
Well, think of this, like, being... AIM, right?
Mm-hmm.
AOL Instant Messenger. You would just have this random person just bloop, and it'd be like ASL. Just a rando, mm-hmm. just popping in. And it wasn't like, hey, it's like, no, hey, what's up with you?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, all right, I'm going to throw my hook in the water and see what bites here. They didn't know.
No.
They didn't know.
This is like the rainbow trout farm fishing.
It's wild. It was the wild, wild west out there. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, child predators back then, boy, did they have it good.
I was going to say, a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to think about it. I mean, it's not the way I think most people were thinking about this, Danny, but we'd expect nothing less from you.
I mean.
Think like a criminal, right?
Yeah, you know?
Think like a criminal. That's how you find them.
Mm-hmm.
How you find them.
In general, I think most criminals had it easier back then. Not just sex predators. Everyone. Murderers, thieves, all of them.
And this is a good point by P1 Jordan. Yeah, Dusty, good thing boomers are known for their willingness to fact check internet headlines and memes.
Mm.
It doesn't take much. Yeah, how many times?
Do you read the article? No, I just saw the headline.
No. Well, if
my mom on Facebook. Stop. Don't click that.
Yeah.
Don't click that. The email, don't click that.
Don't do it. Or it's like, if you would have clicked on that link, you would have had that, remember Wood? That dude. That's where that link was going.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you just read the headline and ran with it. And we're just like, no, I don't need the story. Mm-mm. There was no story because the headline was fake. They wanted you to click on it. So you'd see this dude squatting down and yep. Golly.
That sucked.
All right. But... Just getting, when people would send those to you?
Yes, get it. Yeah, getting fooled with that link.
Man, RIP to my great friend Ben. He would send those relentlessly.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just like relentlessly. And I mean, you say those were the worst. I wish I would have got one because... Like if I were to get one, it would have been from my friend who passed, and that's like one of the last jokes that he would pull on all of us.
Yeah, you did send Rust and I one.
Yeah.
Like a year ago, I was like, "Oh, you son of a!"
That one was good.
It was good. It was good.
It was good.
It was good. I did. I laughed.
All right. We got one other college football here. No, so. The 2027 class is already committing to schools.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a kid named Trey Taylor. And I don't think he needed to apologize, but I want to let the people be the judge of this. So he's from Carmel Catholic High School in Illinois, 4-star quarterback recruit. He was down to Illinois, home state, Nebraska, LSU, and Texas A&M. He's the nation's number 3 quarterback, according to 24/7 Sports. In his announcement, he threw on an Illinois hat and dropped a, I'm going to stay home and go to Illinois. Then did the take the hat off, psych, and unzips. He's wearing a Nebraska shirt, says I'm going to Nebraska. He later posts a video apology saying, I didn't mean to upset people. It's not who I am. I want to be and not how I want to be perceived. I know it was very disrespectful. I really just want to get on here and say it's not who I am and what I want to be known as. Moment got to me a little bit. I just want to say I'm sorry.
I don't think he needs to apologize per se, but why?
Because he's seen it on the internet so many times.
And how many times? But and who does it work out for?
I don't know.
I don't think it ever does you any favors.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do the hanging over your head, like,
he took it too far with the I'm staying home.
Yes. Like, that's
going to
like,
Illinois.
You could tease a little bit and then put it back down. Who was it when their mom lost their mind?
Like, walked off the set?
Yeah. It was a big time recruit.
She was a Tennessee girl and he
really
went to Alabama.
Was that.
It was an SEC. It was SEC.
No, I saw that clip like a day ago. God, who was it?
Was it Dre Kirkpatrick, maybe? Or Minka Fitzpatrick?
It was a big time recruit. I remember that.
Yeah.
I just can't remember who it was. But that one was like, she was visibly pissed. Like, she's like, how dare you go out of state?
Talking Jacob Copeland or no? That's not it. Damn it.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember who it was.
I think that was, no, that is, it's Jacob Copeland. He chose Florida, excuse me, not Alabama. And his mom, who had a Tennessee beanie on, literally got up and walked off.
Yeah.
So Jacob Copeland.
Oh, and she was wearing a Tennessee beanie with an Alabama shirt, and his grandma was crying, and he was wearing a Florida hat. Boy. Well, you want to know why she was so mad? The bag of money.
Mm.
Is that what came out later?
Landon Collins is the one. Landon Collins' mom went ape-ass too.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out for him.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah.
Landon Collins was really good.
I think that's the one I was thinking of because he was a high.
Nah, my bad.
Yeah.
No, Copeland is another one though, but
yeah.
Landon Collins was it.
But there have been ones where I remember a handful of years ago, there was a recruit who could not get his he couldn't get his NIL or his national letter of intent, NLI,
mm-hmm.
to the school because he had signed at home and had to go to the school, to his high school, to fax it because
mm-hmm.
nobody has a fax machine. His mom took the letter and ran.
What a B.
She was like, no, I'm gone. Which, if I'm the coach of whatever school he signed with, I'm probably going,
that's a problem I don't want.
Helicopter mom here.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll look that one up in the break. I'll get that one back in the break because that was bonkers. She was gone for like hours. Nobody knew where she was for like hours.
That's insane.
It was a big signing day story.
Well, way to rip the kid away from your moment, or the moment away from your kid. Yeah. You just kind of took it for yourself.
Yeah, that's
yeah
hard pass. But no, this kid with the Illinois-Nebraska part of this, it's one thing to tease it a little bit. He just went too far with the full flip.
Oh, it was Alex Collins.
Oh, there you go.
Who was actually good at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
So this was 2013. His mom stole her son's national letter of intent, then ran away and hid so her son couldn't fax his official papers. 4-star running back from Plantation, California, wanted to go to Arkansas. His mother wanted him to stay close to home. Damn.
I mean, God, that's like a big rift. I don't know if they're still talking, right? Like, that's a... Jeez.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And this was a tweet at the time. ESPN says Alex Collins' mom stole his letter of intent so he couldn't sign with Arkansas. If he can't run her down, he should be in the Big Ten anyway.
That's perfect. It's perfect. I love it. All right.
That's savage.
Come up next, worst day on the web. And no, it's not Dusty slanging burritos in a unitard at the Golf Classic, although.
Oh, Alex Collins died.
He
died.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, in 2023. I had no idea. Rest in peace, Alex Collins. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Damn. Yeah.
Got sour real quick. Dusty and the unitard, not on the worst day on the web. Well, as we get closer to the golf tournament, maybe. You ever see those movies where the truck spills over with money? And the people go scrambling for it.
Absolutely.
What if they did that, but it was with one of the most useless currencies unknown to man, and how difficult it would be to pick up? That's our worst day on the web. But first, here's Jordan Schultz with the Sports Center update.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
We leave the sunny confines of Florida, but keep it mostly in the south.
Florida man.
About an hour north of Dallas, Texas, in the town of Alvord.
All right.
A truck. I'm trying to think of the particular name for the currency-carrying truck.
A Brinks truck?
Yeah, but what, money truck, armored vehicle.
Yeah,
armored truck.
It's a little bit different than that because it was coming, I believe I was reading this, it was coming from one of the depositories. It spilled over carrying $800,000 in dimes.
$800,000 in dimes?
That's a lot of dimes. What's in a roll of dimes? Let's do this math here.
Is that like, I'm no math, I'm horrible at math. That's like 8 million dimes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And a full roll is $5, so that's a lot of rolls. Good God.
Oh my gosh. So if there's $5 mm-hmm. in that roll, that is a lot of rolls.
You said 800?
800,000.
I'm just pulling the calculator out. I can't do this quick math.
40,000?
Yeah.
Rolls? Yep. 40,000 rolls? Holy crap. Did they all break open and scatter? What do we have? Do we just have rolls of dimes?
So these were newly minted dimes. So these are not in circulation.
Oh, they're freshies.
That's what I was saying. I was trying to remember the actual
freshies.
It's the Department of Treasury, but it's I can never remember the actual name for the trucks that they use, but they had to go out there with hydrovax.
Oh, God.
And they basically exploded over the highway. And I'm showing Dusty right now.
So did the mad dash, because like you see this from time to time where it's usually like in Florida, where they're driving down the road and the back of the Brinks truck is open and $100 bills are flying and people are just going crazy. Was it one of those situations, or did people not quite understand what was going on because there's a bunch of teenagers who don't know what change is and only use card?
Because it's carrying that much currency, there's security on board and there's escort vehicles. So when it happened... Ooh. It was blocked off immediately.
Immediately?
Because this is coming from the Department of Treasury.
All right.
So
so we didn't have any shenanigans here. How'd it fall off? They hit just like a pothole and... How does this happen?
It doesn't say. It just says it rolled.
The truck rolled?
The driver veered off the road and it rolled over.
Oh. I'm going to chalk it up to an armadillo.
There you go. They are tough.
Armadillo in the road.
They're also kind of cute. You don't want to run them over.
Don't they carry leprosy?
They carry something.
I think they carry leprosy.
I think you're right. Yeah. It's like...
Don't kiss an armadillo.
No, definitely. They're cool looking, though.
Yeah.
He's got his own armor.
Yeah.
Kinda cool.
But they're also like... Kind of like rat looking.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's an armor.
So I'm not going to call it adorable.
No, it's definitely not adorable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, these guys were out. They had this crew come out there with these hydrovax that they're just literally running it up and down the street and the grass and the mud. Because what these things will do is it sucks it through with the water and it just filters the dimes through.
You think that truck driver's thinking, like, oh, think I'm going to lose my job?
No kidding.
And they go, brother.
What's worth more? The $800,000 in dimes, or about the amount of money they're spending cleaning this up?
The dimes.
You think it costs more than 800 grand to clean that up? I think the dimes.
Well, you got to shut it down. You have to do the search. Yeah. You've got, they have like four or five trucks out there.
I'll tell you what.
And probably 25 employees out there.
They could make it way less expensive.
They could.
All you got to do is just get some old retired guys with their, have no better things to do than walk around like parks with metal detectors and stuff. Those guys will find all them dimes. Mm. And you could say, you keep, 10% of what you find. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
You clean that whole thing up. Because I'm assuming not all $800,000 left.
No, I mean, yeah.
I mean, not all $800,000 came off the truck. But you say, you just keep, 10, 20% of whatever you find. And yeah, well, you guys, it's your retirement plan. You guys are bored anyways.
Did you see the other roadside event that happened this weekend in Florida?
No.
There's a...
I don't keep up on my Florida roadside events, though.
This one went pretty viral. There's the... I think it goes by like Barefoot Grunt or something like that. He's a Marine. This
sounds right.
Like an 8-foot alligator was in between traffic. Like there's a little gully in between east-westbound highway lanes.
Yeah.
And Animal Patrol and the cops just couldn't get this. This dude looking like jacked Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah. Like the cut-off flannel, jean shorts, barefoot.
Yeah. Well, you can't do it in shoes.
He's not like an animal wrangler, but he's like, I can do this.
Well, I assume anybody dressed like that is an animal wrangler of some sort.
He just gets behind this thing, grabs it. I mean, he's a big dude. He's like 6'3", 6'4", like 260, just jacked out of his mind. But just manhandles it by the tail, gets up, sits on it, does the whole gator
snout
thing, reaches in his pocket, pulls out the duct tape, and just walks this thing over. And the cops are just like, the hell? Just some random social media influencer just driving by.
Wait, he's an actual influencer?
Oh, yeah, no. Like, he's a full-on, like, social media.
What does he do on his channel?
Just random stuff.
Like that?
Yeah, just a random dude.
Yeah.
Just does stuff.
I won't go out there. I won't get that gator.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk like that. He's a Marine. Like, he's just crazy.
So Marines don't talk like that?
I was going to say, there's got to be a couple.
There's not a lot of Cajun Marines.
That's fair.
I just assume that somebody who's wrangling gators like that is Cajun.
See, you assume the Cajun there, but the Marines, Cajuns, they're militia. They don't ever enlist.
Yeah, they're not going into something actually organized.
No. It's their own private military.
All right, that's fair.
There's a little. This is a cut above.
Okay, all right.
And again, this guy is jacked beyond all belief, and you're just like, so does this kind of come out of the womb in Florida?
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Well, it depends on what part of Florida you're in. I mean, if you're like northern Florida,
getting up in the panhandle.
Yeah, if you're in the panhandle, faux show.
That's basically Alabama.
If you are Everglades, yeah.
Yeah, once you get north of Lake Okeechobee, it turns into swamp people. There was another worst end the way I was going to throw in here. It was Florida, Jason. A man was arrested for having three different wives in three different counties in Florida.
Why? Sounds miserable.
Why would you want that?
But I saw that TLC is doing one of their new reality shows is about a polyamorous throuple.
Yeah.
Relationship. There's also Oregon.
Yeah.
In Oregon. Mm-hmm. It's in Oregon.
And there's also the Sister Wives one, which is in Utah.
Yeah. But it ain't legal here. So I don't know if they are married or not, but it's really putting Oregon on the map. Yeah. Something tells me Klamath.
Mm. Sister Wives are down to just a couple, too. So all the other wives left.
Oh, no way.
That's shocking.
I wonder why.
You could even tell. Like, I just saw the promo like 20 years ago when the latest wife got married to that dude. And you could just see in the commercials, it's like, he does not care about any of the other three ladies. It is all about this new one. How are you not picking up on this?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the situation they're in is.
I know. Hold on. Let's
that
see.
It took them 20 years, but they got out of it.
God. Polly Family premiered on Tuesday.
They're in Portland, right? Not just Oregon.
The series follows a closed polyamorous quad. Oh. Four adults who are living and raising their children together in Lebanon.
Oh. Yeah. That
fits.
Yep. That's a straight line.
It's not quite where I was thinking, but it's not far.
No.
You know, I mean, Klamath was my number one go-to.
Yeah.
Then it's like, Lebanon's pretty close to I-5. I was figuring you had to go like off I-5.
There had to be like some sort of mountain range that separated you from I-5.
Well, like at least 20 miles in either direction of I-5. I felt like that's where we would be.
Mm.
That's not Lebanon, but I don't know.
If you had told me Dallas, Oregon, would have believed it.
But this is the interesting part. This quad.
Mm.
Two dudes, two women.
Okay.
So they just were like, you know what? We really get along.
They went beyond the devil's threesome.
Well, so they're just swapping. Yeah. That's what they're doing.
Hmm.
But also, like, living together.
I mean, but, like, are the guys or girls also having relations with each other? Or is this just, like, a straight couple swap? There's, like, seven different ways to do this here.
Alyssa and Taya have given birth to two other children, and the couples have decided against learning who the biological fathers are to, quote, avoid jealousy and remain committed and equal parents.
Well, sorry, one still isn't, even though if you don't want to know it, that's ridiculous. That's just bury your heads in the sand, whatever.
Well, I mean, I feel like you could figure this one out and be like, well, Sean is a redhead.
Well, it's a real easy way to do it.
Tyler has black hair. I think we can figure this one out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's not going to be a hard one to do.
Yeah, it's $90. You can figure it out real quick.
And what are we? 23andMe. Go get. Well, they went bankrupt, didn't they?
Well, you're pushing.
I think they did.
They did. You're pushing the jealousy off by like.
They got
four
bought
or five
out
years.
By somebody.
That's all you're doing. Because eventually, like you said, no, you'll see the features. Mm. So.
Yeah. We'll find out.
You'll know. You're just pushing off the.
TLC knows what they're doing. They're just going to have a spinoff in like 15 years of this show and all their other shows. Yeah. So like, hey,
it's family business.
This is like
being a complete mess on national TV.
Yeah, like have any of the kids from Teen Mom turned into a Teen Mom themselves? Full circle.
No, one of them turned into a porn star though. So
God, Jesus,
what?
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. Huh. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, there we go.
So there you go. That's our worst day on the web. We took a lot of paths down there.
that was crazy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people that are old and have kids following the family business, LeBron James left the end of the season with a bit of an injury now. And there's also some news about what LeBron may or may not do and how it may influence Luka Doncic coming up. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. LeBron James suffered a grade 2 MCL sprain in game 5. And I mean, that's kind of the reason why they ended up where they did.
Yeah, dang.
Oh, that's why they ended up where they did? That's the reason why.
What a stud supporting cast they've got in LA.
Yeah. I feel like this happens every time. Remember when LeBron had basically a broken hand? Remember that? He basically had a broken hand. It's like, well, I don't think that that's how it goes. Either you have a broken hand or you don't. When LeBron gets bounced early in the playoffs, and this is like, I love LeBron James. This is like my criticism of him is that there is so much water that is carried to make it look like there's no way that this possibly could have happened.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it. He's 40 years old. Like I mentioned this because it's so stupid. He's 3 months younger than me and he's still doing what he's doing. It's otherworldly. Do I believe that he got hurt? Yeah, I do. But it is funny that, like, instead of just taking care of it, it's like, oh, no, the MCL. It's game 5, dude. Like, you're done. The worst of it was the one you pointed out. When he showed up at the press conference with the thing on his hand, like,
yeah,
come on, dude.
When you lose a series 4-1, I think there were other issues there.
Now,
his game 5, it was brutal for him, and he didn't look right, and he went down in a heap with that.
The knee. Yeah.
And he was wearing a sleeve on that leg, and it didn't look good. But that's not why they lost that series.
No.
And it's not why they weren't going to win it. It's why they weren't going to win a championship this year.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, though, is that, and I'll defend LeBron on this, is that people are so quick to be like, Jordan would have never. Well, Jordan also had some pretty damn good teams around him as well, all the time, that were complete rosters. You can say what you want about Luke Longley, but the dude was a big-ass human being who filled space in the middle. They didn't have that in L.A. this year.
Well, they did in Alex Len, but just not playable.
Yeah, they had a bunch of playable dudes.
Because Len is huge. That's his one NBA talent. He's a monster.
He had Scottie Pippen, a top 50 player of all time. He had Steve Kerr or Tony Kukoc.
Or Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. I mean, Horace Grant.
There's no shortage.
He had a bunch of dudes that they surrounded him with year in and year out. Now, Michael Jordan had that killer instinct in him, and he never failed. Full stop.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is my number one, by the way.
That's fair.
I don't argue.
As long as it's one of those two. Unless you're one of those Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, and you're like 70 years old, and you're like you want to just want to die on that hill, fine.
But
whatever.
Yeah.
But it's Jordan and Bron.
To sit there and be like, see, this is why he'll never be Jordan. It's like,
really? Because Jordan didn't play at 40.
Well, do you remember watching Jordan with the Wizards?
Yeah. He wasn't doing this. No.
It's incredible what LeBron James
the longevity is doing. And peak of LeBron James. Like, he was 25-8-5 this year.
And
like,
if Michael Jordan never goes and plays baseball, it's not even a conversation because they would have run away with those 2 years too.
Yeah. So, more came out of this as well, though, because LeBron James, he has a player option next year. I mentioned this yesterday. The intel, as it were, the noise behind the scenes in Los Angeles is that LeBron James is not going to opt into the player option. He is going to opt out and sign another 1-1.
So he's not going to take the, was it $54 million was his player option for this year?
$52 or $54 million. But here's the thing. if he does truly want to win a title, does he take the pay cut? But if you're LeBron, you're LeBron. You're like, screw this. I'm not going to take the pay cut. Remember Kobe. The reason they couldn't build around Kobe is Kobe's like, that's $60 million a year.
Yeah, but Kobe didn't have the absolute empire that LeBron's built up. I feel like at this point, LeBron's got so many dollars coming in from so many sources, he'd be an idiot not to say, yeah, let's give it one more run. But what's the difference for him, especially with California taxes, a $15, $20 million maybe missed year of salary, as opposed to a title in the bank?
Well, Kobe did have a very lucrative deal with Nike that he was getting a big chunk of profits on. Now, it's not, they didn't make him a billionaire like they did LeBron James.
No.
But this is the, there's also an aspect that people hate to talk about, but it's very true. These stars don't want to be a guy who sets a precedent in any way, shape, or form. Because the moment that the best player in the league takes a pay cut, every other front office is going to every agent and every other player who is a lesser and saying, look, dude, LeBron James did it to win a title. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
And that is a, that's a very real thing in professional sports.
Front offices will 100% use that as leverage.
Yeah. I mean, Rudy Gay did it to take a minimum deal with the Spurs. Yeah, and then
Rudy
with,
Gay is not LeBron James.
No, but
that's the thing is like ring chasing end of your career with guys who haven't got one or
Gary Payton, Karl Malone
are not the, it, like the thing about LeBron is he can't do it because he's the face of the league.
Yeah.
Like even that. Gary Payton and Karl Malone were not the face of the league.
But they still got paid, too. It wasn't a league minimum that they got. That's the thing. Yeah. Gay, I literally think he gave up like $10 to $20 million just to go sign the Mets.
So what is LeBron, what can LeBron sign the 1-1 for in L.A.?
I think it can actually go very high. I think it can get up to 62, I think is the most. I got to double check the math on it.
Would 40 be a number that sitting there and you're looking at and you're saying, dude,
it'd probably give him full access to the MLE, which you can go get somebody. With that,
if LeBron comes back, because I think even if he was at like $45 million, the way he performed this year, he didn't fall off a cliff at all.
He's a legitimate number two. He's a legitimate number two in the NBA still.
And they have a number one.
Yes. And that LeBron James was asked about that as it pertains to Luka Doncic and his decision. He was asked about Luka's decision. LeBron James says, that ain't my job. I know. Luka knows how I feel about him. Ultimately, that trade happened for the future. That's not for me. Luka has to decide what he has to do with his future. He's 26. I'm 40. So he can't be basing his career off me. That's just real. But I hope, obviously, he stays long term. Laker fans bleeping love him here. LA has accepted him. We love him as a teammate, as a brother, but ultimately he's going to make a decision for him. Bleep, I ain't going to be around much longer.
Yep. From what JJ Redick said, from what LeBron James said, Nico Harrison was foolish for what he did. Nico Harrison is not wrong. These guys have been with Luka Doncic for a few months now, since February. So what, 3 months? He needs to get in shape. He needs to play defense. He needs to commit. That is the star player and the head coach both saying those, echoing those three things. And LeBron saying he's a grown ass man. This is on him to do it. And he's got to be the one that turns that corner on his own. What Nico Harrison said was right. What he said was right. The way he went about trading Luka Doncic was horrific. The way he handled the aftermath.
Irredeemable.
Horrific. He didn't shop him. He didn't get the best deal.
Didn't even get the best deal from the team they traded him to.
And they never signaled that it was ever going to happen. No. And so you caught your fan base completely off guard the year after he backpacks you to an NBA Finals.
It's insane. What's interesting here, though, from the LeBron standpoint.
But he went wrong.
This is LeBron ceding control to Luka.
Yeah. It is.
The whole, like, this is an admission it's not my team anymore. And this is the closest he's ever come to this.
Well, he's already got his kid on the team, so it's Bronny's team. Maybe he's not giving it to Luka. Maybe he's giving it to Bronny.
There you go. No. But this is what I meant when the whole idea of, like, when people are like, oh, is LeBron done? No, he's not done.
Yeah.
He's not done. He's going to get the full-on Nike tour, and it's going to be egregious and ridiculous. But
does he play in Portland?
Well, I wonder, though. Like,
when the Lakers come here, not for the Blazers, by the way.
Like, what is Luka going to sign up for that?
Being the face of the Lakers is different than the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with far more responsibility that you have to live up to. And because they will turn on your ass real quick.
I mean, there's still a portion of the fan base that has never fully embraced LeBron James.
Yeah.
And in L.A.
They have turned on Pau Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
They turned on Shaq. They never turned on Kobe.
Which...
they never will turn on Kobe. There's a history. Mm-hmm. But Kareem even had a tough time with them, and he's the all-time scoring leader. Mm-hmm. They never turn on Magic. Because those are their guys, right? For whatever reason.
Because they're lifers.
They're guys.
Yeah, they're lifers. But it is interesting, this kind of this dynamic that's shifting for the first time in LeBron James' career, and it took to 40. I've already seen a few people say it online. Have fun in Germany, Bron.
That's messed up, dude.
Enjoy your time.
He's just, for the PRP treatment.
Yeah. Just
that's what he goes
just,
and does.
Just heading over there for that.
Yeah, that is what he goes over there for.
That's what Kobe did, too.
Yeah, that is why Kobe went for the PRP.
Yeah, good PRP over there.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, coming up now, number three. It's not the worst trade, but it's definitely a trade that has been circulating. It was put out there by a couple of writers from The Athletic. I've narrowed down the writer, and I've already texted him. I don't like this, man. I don't like this. It does involve Giannis, and it does involve the Trailblazers. We'll get that next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.